Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I'm joined by longtime friend Greg Atkinson. Greg, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So you and I have known each other from the internet for a long time, but we met over Tex-Mex several years ago, and then we enjoyed some time together in New York City and cheesecake together. So we have enjoyed, we have broken the real kinds of bread.
That's right. We have ate in San Antonio and New York, and I just posted on social media yesterday. I bond with people over food, so that's a big deal.
Yeah, it's been fun. We've had fun face to face and online interacting, and I have followed you through the years, probably for over a decade, it's been fun to follow your journey, and you're involved in so many different things. So would you, and I'm curious how you're going to introduce yourself, because you're an author, you're a consultant, you do many things. Who is Greg Atkinson?
Yeah, well, Greg Atkinson is a Christ follower, a husband, a dad. I have three teenagers. But I took over a website last year called expastors.com, E-X and then pastors plural. And so we have a ministry to current and former pastors. And we did a survey last year, and we found out that 74% of our audience were current pastors. They were just right on the edge of burnout, and they were searching something called expastors.com. And so we have a strong ministry to current pastors. And then I'm a part of a larger nonprofit that oversees ex-pastors, and ex-pastors falls under their umbrella. I'm a part of a four-person lead team, a brand new ministry nobody's ever heard of called Full Strength Network. And you haven't heard of us because we haven't done any marketing. We haven't got the word out yet. But Full Strength Network is a ministry that is focused on keeping pastors healthy and avoiding burnout. And so where we're headed is Full Strength Network will be preemptive and ex-pastors will be redemptive. And so we're trying to cover the whole spectrum of pastoral health. And then I also, as you said, I've done consulting for probably 12 years on and off. I've been consulting with churches and have written some books, but I still do some consulting on the side. I still love working with churches and doing the secret shopper thing. And then I do just some general coaching with pastors via video. And then locally here where I live in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, I'm always meeting with pastors for lunch or coffee or breakfast. So I have a huge heart for pastors. Love serving the church.
That's awesome. And we, after this call, you and I need to connect, in that I feel like Pete Scazzaro, who is a client of mine, needs to be engaged.
He's one of our contributors for ex-pastors.
Good. He's awesome. And I love that. And being an ex-pastor, I can understand that the point of burnout that I've lived for many years. So let's, you know, the reason I asked to reach out to you to have this conversation, and actually how we first met is you were doing a secret shopper consultancy or consultant, you know, visit in San Antonio. And so I thought that was fascinating. Then you have now kind of revealed your secrets of a secret shopper in your book, Secrets of a Secret Shopper. Can you maybe first talk about what do you do as a secret shopper? And then what's the book all about?
Well, when I do a secret shopper, they're usually somewhere away from where I live. I do occasionally local ones, but it's a national ministry. And I work with churches of all sizes, all styles, all denominations, primarily larger churches because they have the budget to bring in an outside consultant and fly me out there and pay for my fee. But I realize, as you know, that most churches in America or North America are 200 people or less. And so I wrote this book for small church pastors because I figured, I was talking with a friend, I said, they can't pay, you know, for a consultant to come in, but they can pay $10 for a book and read about what I do. And so I wrote the book to help small church pastors. And when I do a secret shopper, I start, as you and I have talked about, I start with online presence. How are they doing on the web? How are they doing with social media, with their website? And then I move and I check that out before I ever step foot on the plane. Because as you know, people are going to check you out online before they check you out in person. And so I'll check out their website, their service times, their directions. I'll fly there and I'll go to their campus, Sometimes they have multiple campuses. Sometimes it's one large campus. And then I'll check out everything from the parking lot to the facilities to the kids check-in to security, first impressions, guest services teams, welcome center. And then I have a big focus on the worship service itself, because I started out as a worship pastor, and then I was a tech director for a large church producing some services. And then I've been for the last 6 years a campus pastor at a multi-site church, and kind of have overseen the entire congregation, where I did everything except preaching regularly. And so just have a good grasp on the Big C Church. And I just go in, and my goal is to help turn first-time guests into second-time guests. And so I've used the term from the street to the seat, or some other terms like that. But it's about reaching and keeping first-time guests. And Nelson Searcy wrote a great, great, great book called Fusion. And he talks about that second-time guest. If you can turn a first-time guest into a second-time guest, they're 80% more likely to get plugged in and eventually make a decision for Christ. So to me, it's all about the second-time guest. I want to see somebody come back for a second time. And we have just seen over time in studies that people are way more likely to get plugged in if they can just come back a second time. So just to answer your question, I focus on a great first visit, first impression, yep, hoping that they'll come back for a second visit.
Yeah, I love that. So getting into the digital side of this, you mentioned that you go to their social media, their website before you attend the church. What are some of the things that you, let's maybe even before we talk about good and bad, both social media and website, strategically, how are those used best? So when you kind of lay out your best practices to filter off of, what are you looking for in those two areas?
Which two areas?
The website and social media.
Website and social media, yeah. So when I do a report, I usually, I have like a progression, and I'll say your first door, your first impression is social media. Yeah. That's where they're most likely to encounter you or engage with you. And then, as you and I have talked about in the past, I always want to point people to the website. And so in between social media and website, I do a thing on mobile, because a lot of people are going to check you out on their phone first. And so I do a big thing about mobile website. And then we always want to point people to the church website, because it's where they can find out directions and service times and staff page and about page and vision and values. You know, you're not going to do a social media post that says, here's our 10 values, or here's our staff listing, or here's, you know. So I like to see social media engage people and create buzz. One of the things that I talk with pastors about when I do coaching is morale and momentum. And so I want to see high morale. I follow a ton of churches on social media. I've mentioned before, every Sunday afternoon, I sit at home in my chair. Now football's on in the background, but I sit at home and I'm scrolling through Instagram, and I'm just seeing people's posts, and it looks so amazing. I think, man, I wish I was there. God, I wish I was there. And I follow a lot of same churches that you follow, and I see people just crushing it. And there's a lot of ways, you know, that you can use social media, but I'm looking for engagement, and that we are asking questions and starting conversations, and then hopefully that will lead over to, hey, check out the website to sign up for this or to check out this. And then there's a whole lot that people look for on a website. I'm really passionate about having an I'm new page or a what to expect page. There's a lot that you can do to ease a first-time guest mind, or relax them, prepare them, take away some of the nervousness that people get when they visit a church, just by a simple I'm new page. Click here and it tells you what to expect, and we're going to have a, you know, 15 minutes of music, we're going to have a 30-minute message, a biblical message, you're going to have this for your kids, here's the process to check in your kids. Some churches that are killing it right now, I've seen, let you actually register your kids online, which is huge, because one of the things that I look for in a secret shopper is there a long bottleneck, like are people waiting in a long line to get their kids checked in? And if you can do that online and knock that out where you just walk in and you're already in the database, you're in the system, it's very frustrating to a guest to arrive at a church on a Sunday morning and have to go through a long process of entering their name and address and phone number and children's birthdays and all this into a database. And they don't think of security like you and I think of security. They don't know that we go through background checks and that we take safety and security seriously. They're just thinking, can I just drop my kid off and go into the service? Like, why do I have to go through all this? And so that I'm new page and what to expect page is huge because it can buffer all that and it can take care of some essentials, things that are important to us as far as safety and security. It can take care of that ahead of time and allow people to have a streamlined experience on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, I love that. As far as just best practices go, what would you, you know, so you have probably seen a little bit of everything in your experiences. What are some of the negative things that you've seen or maybe common mistake church is making in these areas?
I have a very, very recent, meaning last week, example. So I do secret shopper visits where I come in and evaluate everything in person. I fly there, I stay in a hotel, and I do everything. Then I also do online presence evaluations where I sit at home. There's no travel involved. It's way, way, way cheaper. And I just sit there in my laptop and I look at their social media. I look at their website and it's a small fee for a church. And I give them a report and says, here's how your online presence comes across. Here's how I would evaluate it. And so a Methodist church reached out to me recently and they said, hey, we'd like to, somebody recommended you, or maybe they heard it on a podcast and said, hey, we'd like to hire you to do an online presence evaluation. And I do several a year. I love them because I don't have to travel. I don't have to leave home. But I was doing one and they did two things that just kind of, well, three. I'll go to three because I see it so much. The third one that I didn't even think to mention it because it's so common is the way they use Twitter, where it's just words, just announcements. No pictures, no quotes, no scriptures, just text, no engagement, no questions. And so I see that all the time. And so that I was like, well, I expected that. Two things that kind of made me think, okay, yes, now we have something to work on. One, and you probably have seen this before, they had a personal profile on Facebook, not a page. So it was like, add me as a friend, you know. It was a personal profile that had their church picture. And that's another thing. I don't want to ever see your building. I want to see faces. I want to see smiling faces from your congregation. I don't want to see a picture of your building with the steeple. I want to see people. And so that's a little rap. That rhymes. But I want to see people, not the steeple. I need to add that to a little motto. But so they had a personal profile on Facebook. It wasn't set up as a page. And so that's something I'm going to be working with them on. And then the thing that I hadn't seen before was they had a link. Well, they had asked me to evaluate Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and website, which is the main four things that I usually evaluate. I also sometimes do Google and Yelp and things like that. But they asked me to evaluate these. So I go searching on Instagram to find their church, and their church isn't there. But what is there is people in their congregation checking in at the church and tagging the church. And so you see the people's pictures of whatever the congregation member took a picture of, but there's no actual church Instagram account. And so I haven't seen that before. And so a lot of it is just very basic stuff. You know, hey, let's set up an Instagram account and here's how you can use that to create buzz and have high morale and make it kind of a attractive, sticky church. Hey, this looks great. I want to be a part of this. Here's how you can use Twitter to engage people. Now, I will say not everybody uses Twitter and Twitter doesn't work for everybody. If you're in a rural setting or you have two people in your congregation that are on Twitter, then it's not worth it. You and I and our friends and pastors, a lot of us are on Twitter and we communicate best practices and what are you doing about this? And check out this. And us pastors and leaders communicate a lot, but a lot of congregation members aren't on Twitter. And so some people, I just say, look, you've got 12 followers. I wouldn't put a lot of energy there. Facebook, though, is huge. And so I do really try to evaluate Facebook. I try to look for engagement. And a lot of people use it just as a bullhorn broadcast. This announcement. And, people will tune that out after. It just becomes irrelevant. And so just trying to talk to them about engaging ways to use social media. And again, always pointing people to the website if we can. And you gave me a great idea about once people get to the website, having them sign up for the e-newsletter, which you could do so much, as you know, through email. If you can just capture their email, you can communicate a lot more text, announcements, critical stuff. Another thing I look at when I do a secret shopper is how many announcements do they do? And I have been in so many churches where they have just a long, long, long list of announcements that just kills you. And I did a church recently where they had announcements at the beginning, announcements before the sermon, and announcements at the end of the service. And I'm like, you have done three different sets of announcements. It's just overwhelming. There's a website for that. I would just say, hey, it's a great day at, Grace Church. Glad you're here. You want to remember that we are actually getting ready for our fall kickoff for small groups. Check that out online. You can also find other stuff online at grace.church. Check us out online and you can find out what's going on. But point them to a website where you can list the announcements, but don't go through 12 announcements on a Sunday. That just, it kills me. It kills others. The people have just heard the pastor speak for 30 to 45 minutes and they're ready to stop hearing his voice. They don't want to hear any more announcements. They're ready to get up and leave. So,
That's good. One of the things we did at Community Bible Church that was kind of game changing in that area is on our, kind of what to expect page, we had a plan your visit, opportunity where they would, where they could pre-register their kids. And when they arrived, we had a bag for them with their kids' stickers already on there. With a little gift. But where the big opportunity there was not even in that step, but it allowed us to follow up with them. So if they came, we had their email address to follow up. How was your visit? Or if they didn't come, we want to help you come next week. And what can we do to help you? So when you can get a data point to follow up with them, that relationship, I think it becomes much stickier rather than hoping they come and hoping they come back, but not ever really analytically knowing to be able to get a data point is really key and follow up. That's what we found at Community Bible.
Yeah. And it's kind of, from a business standpoint or business term, it's a call to action. So you've heard about them on social media. You've heard about them in the community via word of mouth. Word of mouth will always be the best form of marketing. It is always the best. And so a friend invited you. You say, cool, let me check you out online. Or they say that to themselves. Yeah. Okay, my friend goes to Grace Church. They invited me. I'm going to go to grace.church, check it out, and look at that. And then there's an I knew button. Cool, let me check this out. Oh, here's what to expect. Oh, I can register my kids. That's cool that they do that. You have that entry in. And to me, it feels like a call to action, hey, we're glad you're coming. We want to plan for you. Fill out your info here. And like I said, there's so much you can do via follow-up if you get that info.
Yep. It was huge for us. Well, I would love to hear, are there any like, churches that you would say are just crushing it? So is there a model or like maybe two or three churches that you look at and you just say these churches are doing a great job with their online presence that you could see from a secret shopper standpoint that are a great model for other churches?
Yeah. So there's a lot of churches that I follow on Instagram. And as I'm sitting there on Sunday afternoon scrolling through, probably my favorite. Now, this sounds bad because it's like I'm playing favorites, but the ones that impress me the most, my top four, and these are in no order, would probably be Central Christian in Las Vegas, Cross Point in Nashville, Passion City Church, Louis Giglio in Atlanta, and then also Gwinnett Church in Atlanta. Jeff Henderson, I believe, is the pastor, but it's one of the North Point churches, and Gwinnett's just killing it. I watch from a distance, and I'm like, man, I want to go to Gwinnett Church. This is just unbelievable, and I see some cool stuff. I saw a post today. I'm looking at this post from Passion City, and this is intriguing. It says, with everything going on in our world today, it's easy to find ourselves living trapped in fear. This week, Pastor Louis Giglio wants you to know that with Jesus, it's possible to live fearless, even in the midst of uncertainty. Sunday's timely message is now available on our app, website, and podcast. And then it has a link to, always point to the website. It's got a link to the website. It's got a picture of Louis Giglio speaking. But it's intriguing, and I think, okay, cool, I want to check this out. I want to hear what Louis Giglio is going to say about an uncertain time, because we have all these storms and natural disasters and things happening. It's relevant. But a church that I love for a lot of reasons, a friend of ours, Phil, at Westridge Church in the Georgia area, Atlanta, Georgia area, they do some great stuff with an I'm New page and a What to Expect and a Plan Your Visit section. They do some really cool stuff on their website. And I said it before, and I'll say it again, people check you out online before they come in person. And they, if you just do a Google search on Westridge Church in Georgia, you'll come across a really good example of how to use your website to make it as user-friendly would be the word I use, or guest-friendly. If we can remove barriers and roadblocks, people can just focus on encountering the living God and having a life-changing experience, worshiping, hearing the word, having their kids minister to. Once they get there, God can really move and do some stuff. But we have to do our part of putting in place social media and website, including mobile, that intrigues people to think, okay, I'm going to give up my Sunday brunch, my Sunday morning sleep in, and I'm going to get out of bed and go to Grace Church or whatever your church's name. I'm going to go check it out. We know once they get there, they can hear the gospel. God can do some amazing things, but they've got to be intrigued somehow. And so there's a book that Dave Browning wrote called Deliberate Simplicity. And he said, we have worked hard to partner with the genius of the Holy Spirit. And so God saves people. God draws men and women to himself. God does his thing. He saves people. But we want to work hard to partner with the genius of the Holy Spirit. And so let's not be lazy. Let's be intentional. Let's be strategic. Let's put in place the best online presence strategy we can do. Let's point people to our gathering. And when they come, let God do his thing. God can save. God can heal. God can deliver. Let's let God do his thing. But let's partner with him and do everything we can to make it appealing, attractive, sticky. Let's do all we can. It's just something that I'm passionate about. In Scripture, it talks about welcoming the stranger, be hospitable. I want us to be welcoming to people. And a huge part of that is online before they ever step foot on your campus.
Amen. I love that word. As you were sharing, and a few things you've said in this conversation that are intriguing to me is as you look on Instagram, and I've heard Instagram kind of come up consistently. I don't have any analytical data on this. I do know Instagram engagement is increasing. Instagram stories has surpassed Snapchat engagement on their platform. But it seems to me that Instagram and Facebook is still the monster, I think, in this, and Facebook owns Instagram at the end of the day. But Instagram seems to have more people's attention. It has my attention more, and I stalk people. Like, every time I see a phone, I'm looking at what's on their screen to see what they're on. And I see teenagers on my elevator, Snapchat first, then Instagram, but they're checking Snapchat quickly, then they're jumping to Instagram, spending more time on Instagram. Are you seeing this?
Yeah, it's fascinating. And I love the foresight of Facebook to grab up Instagram. They've tried to get Snapchat, but they are so smart. They remind me of my friend Neil's who's always looking down the road, very futuristic, got that futuristic gift. They saw what was happening, what was trending, and they had the vision of seeing, okay, Instagram is going to blow up one day. Let's acquire them. I have three teenagers, a 13-year-old, a 15-year-old, and an almost 17-year-old. So 17, 15, 13. They are all three on Instagram, and none of them are on Facebook. Yep. And I'll say, hey, did you see what I posted on Facebook? No, I don't have a Facebook account. You don't even want to create one? Like, I'm trying to talk to my son. Like, my oldest daughter, who's going to turn 17 this fall, she at least has a Facebook account because she was excited back when she turned 13 to get an account, but she never uses it. She's on Instagram. And my son, who's not crazy about social media at all, he's kind of off the grid. He browses Instagram. He doesn't post any pictures, but he'll browse other people's. And then my youngest daughter is kind of a photographer and artist, and she posts some really nice framed pictures. She gets really artsy and does some cool stuff with photography. But, you know, I was just looking through my Instagram feed earlier this morning, and I saw a post that I had posted on Facebook, and on Facebook it got about 12 likes.
Yeah.
On Instagram it had 80 likes. I saw another post that I had posted on Facebook and it got about 5 likes. On Instagram it had 50 likes.
Wow.
And so I'm looking at, wow, where are people engaging? And I've been watching this for months. I've kept an eye on, and I started to post on Facebook, hey, this post right here blew up on Instagram. Like, what's going on here on Facebook? Yeah. And I love Facebook. I'm a big fan of Facebook. But, yeah, I see a lot trending towards Instagram. And I love Instagram stories. Snapchat never really connected with me. I wasn't an early adopter to Snapchat. Well, I was, but I just didn't. It wasn't sticky for me.
Yeah.
But when Instagram stories came out, I was like, yeah, I can do this every day. And so I'll just sit there in my car with my phone mounted and talk to an Instagram story. But, yeah, and then there's a lot, like I said, of browsing that I do of peeking into people's lives through photographs. This is just common sense. The differentiator is if you're on Instagram, it has to be a picture or video. And so I'm going to see something visual. And so it's a great thing to browse through. If it's on Facebook, it could just be a line of text, blah, 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 period. There could be no picture whatsoever. And so it's just not as visual or as engaging. That's why they try to come up with those backgrounds. Here's an all blue or all red background where you can put your text. But I know I'm going to see some cool, original, nice photographs on Instagram. And so I'm highly intrigued. I'd love to see where it takes off. But as a father of teenagers, I can speak. That's where they're at. And they also use Snapchat. But they're not on Facebook. And that's interesting.
It is. But it is. I think what's fascinating to me, too, is it's not just teenagers on Instagram.
Right.
It is becoming a really diverse community of everyone. And in the time on the platform seems to be increasing. I want to shift the conversation as we wrap up, Greg. As you do your work with expastors.com, I'm sure you've seen and experienced everything. We have, most of this audience are pastors. I have no doubt that probably even maybe up to 50% of those listening are probably on that verge of burnout. What would you share with them? How would you encourage them in their role and as a pastor?
Yeah, great, great thought. I was in Houston this past week serving pastors that were going through Hurricane Harvey. And, pastors are on the front line and everybody comes to the church for help. They sleep at the church. They get meals from the church. It's just draining and exhausting. I went through it in Joplin, Missouri when the tornado hit there. And so I knew it was going to be exhausting and draining. So I went to go help out with pastors, and a friend of mine from a great ministry called Pastor Serve was speaking to pastors, and he talked about the tactic of the enemy, and I've said this for years, is isolation. Isolation. If he can get you to think, there's nobody I can tell, I can't speak to anybody about this, I got to keep it secret, I've got to keep this to myself, I can't tell my wife, I can't tell my kids, I definitely can't tell my board. I can't tell my deacons. If they knew what I'm struggling with, they would fire me. They would discipline me. You know, so they get isolated and they get trapped, and the enemy loves that, and the enemy uses that, and people either fail, have some kind of moral failure, or they burn out and they fry. And so a couple thoughts. One, speak to somebody at Full Strength Network, and you could just look up Full Strength, like strength, fullstrength.org. But at Full Strength Network, we have a nationwide network of caregivers, and we don't sell anything. We're not trying to get you to buy anything. We actually want to provide counseling and coaching for you. And so if you raise your hand and say, look, I've got to talk to somebody, I need help, we'll say, great, let's match you up with a licensed counselor. And if finances are an issue, we'll pay for it. Just go get help. Go get help. And so you've got to have somebody to talk to. And then secondly, I would add set boundaries, something that we work with pastors on. And when I say pastors, I mean across the board, directors, staff, children's minister, you name it, communications director, across the board, church leaders. One thing we work with them on is a day of rest each week. You could call it a Sabbath, but at least a day. When I was on a church staff, I worked Sunday through Thursday. I took Friday and Saturday off, and it was a nice rhythm. But at least one day a week of rest, and then take your vacations. Take a vacation, and if you're able to, if your church blesses you, take a sabbatical. Rest, get energized, get refreshed, get rejuvenated. I was with Phil Battle from Westridge Church recently at a conference, and he said that he was given a sabbatical because he had been at his church for over 5 years, and they gave him a sabbatical. And he's the creative director. He's not the lead pastor, but he was given a sabbatical as a staff member, and he talked about how refreshing that is. And I said, well, that's a win for the church because you come back refreshed and energized and renewed and ready to go. But you got to have those weekly rhythms. I would also add to the day of rest a date night. If you can date your spouse, if you can go out and just have somebody to communicate with, talk to. But avoid that lie of the enemy of isolation. Speak to somebody. That would be my encouragement and exhortation. Speak to somebody and get help.
I love that. It's hard, you know, and you are overworked and underpaid and underappreciated. And even in your marriage, sometimes you can become isolated.
Yeah.
Because there are often talks about we lead out of our marriages, or we lead out of our singleness, and being single in a healthy way in ministry. But I don't know anybody who is living an easy life in ministry. You know, it's a struggle no matter where you are, what you do. You know, a couple of things I hear a lot, Greg, and this is a tangent, but from pastors reach out to me often, asking me to help finding a new job. I want to communicate, grass is not always green.
I get that every week. Yep.
Now Vanderbloom Search Group has a lot of jobs out there. You reach out to them. They'll kind of help you. Sometimes getting a new job is the right decision, but more often than not, I think it's something core inside of you of you've got to get healthy first. You know, so even if you go to another job, you need to get healthy. The other is a lot of people say, I want to just become a consultant. This is not an easy job. This is hard. In many ways, it's harder. It doesn't. The pay isn't great. Now you have 20 bosses, not one.
Yeah.
This is a different kind of struggle, and you don't just quit your job and become a consultant. I want to clarify that because I hear that regularly. Those are two things. From pastors, but I want to, more than anything, I want to just, you know, echo what you're saying of if you feel isolated or alone, reach out to me, reach out to Greg. You know, don't and we'll help you get connected to somebody. Xpastor.com is an awesome community for that. But don't just keep grinding. You know, I believe in hustle and hard work. But rest is so critically important. And we cannot become effective leaders if we don't have healthy boundaries and we're not healthy ourselves. And so that's a good word, Greg.
Yeah, you gotta have those rhythms of rest. I get emails every week from pastors that contact xpastors.com, and they just want to vent to somebody. They don't want their story published. They don't even necessarily want a response. They just say, I've got to say this to somebody. And then they send this super long email of, let me just unload and tell you what I'm struggling with. They just have to get it out of their system. Now, for me, I see a counselor regularly. I've done that for years, decades. My wife's a counselor. She's a licensed counselor. I believe in counseling. As a pastor, I did a lot of pastoral counseling. I love counseling, but I go in and the technical term, and I don't know if it's technical, the term that gets used a lot is vomit. I just vomit all over my counselor and be like, I just got to get this off my chest. I got to vent. I don't like this. And he'll look at me and be like, does that feel good to get that out? I'm like, yes, I just had to tell somebody. I just had to tell somebody. But the lie of isolation, if you ever believe I cannot tell a soul what I'm struggling with, you will tank. You will fail. You will burn out. Something will happen. You have to have somebody to talk to. And if it's so sensitive, so secret that you can't tell your spouse, then go tell a licensed counselor, because they're bound by confidentiality. They won't tell your board. They won't tell your deacons. They won't tell your spouse. They are bound by confidentiality. All of our counselors that we have at Full Strength Network are confidential. You can tell them whatever you want and it's confidential, but speak to somebody.
Man, I love that. Such a good word. Well, Greg, as we wrap up, if there's anybody who wants to reach out to you, connect with you, what's the best place for them to go to?
Yeah, it's just my email is my name, greg@gregatkinson.com. And I answer emails every day, greg@gregatkinson.com. Obviously, my website is gregatkinson.com. And then just browse around through xpastors.com, see what you think. There's a lot of articles on there on burnout, rest, physical health, emotional health, mental health, spiritual health. We have articles on there from Pete Scazzaro. We have articles on porn from Josh McDowell, huge struggle for pastors. Josh McDowell has been speaking out and writing about that a lot lately. And a lot of great contributors that people would recognize, but and a lot of original content as well that we write ourselves. But check it out. It's a good resource. We're not selling anything. We don't want anything from you. We just want to support and help.
Yeah, I love it. Well, Greg, thanks so much for the unique work you're doing for the kingdom and the way you're serving local churches and pastors.
Yeah.